الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, continue our studies of Kashf al-Shubuhat, revealing the doubts by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. In our previous class, we have begun reading the fifth Shubha, the fifth doubt and misconception that they have with regards to the right of Allah Azza wa Jal to be worshipped alone with no partners, with regards to Tawheed al-Ibadah, and that was the issue of the Shafa'ah and the intercession. And we have seen the methodology of the author rahimahullahu ta'ala in this particular work, and that is that he has made it like a dialogue, going back and forth discussing these topics and issues in the manner that these people present their doubts and misconceptions. And it's a dialogue going back and forth until that misconception becomes clear, that it is weak in falsehood, that it is weak in falsehood. And from the benefits of the previous class, barakallahu fikum, is how the author, he began, whenever he says, فَإِنْ قَالَ أَتُنْكِرُ الشَّفَاعَةَ أَتُنْكِرُ الشَّفَاعَةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ وَتَبَرَّأُ مِنْهَا. Do you deny the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and free yourself from that? And no doubt, the people of truth, the people of At-Tawheed, the people of the Sunnah, they affirm the Shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is something that is affirmed in the Quran and likewise affirmed in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it has conditions and it has a legislative manner. So the people of truth, they affirm it and they do not deny it. They affirm it and they do not deny it, and they hope for it and they desire it, and they take the means to achieve it, and they take the means to achieve it. They believe in it, and also they believe in the conditions and the requirements in order to obtain it, and they take those means and follow those requirements. As for that which is refuted is the methodology and the way that these people seek the intercession from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They seek the intercession from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a manner of shirk, in a manner that's not legislated, in a manner that only takes them further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point to make now, barakallahu fikum, that whenever the people of falsehood, they run out of evidence, they run out of proof, their refutations are weak, and their positions, their statements or their positions are weak, and they are not truly based on clear evidence, or the evidence does not fit their issue correctly, the evidence is not proper with regards to the way they use it, and they run out of places to go, they will start to defame the people of truth, and they will ascribe to them false statements and false beliefs, and they will try to turn the people away from them. We have seen examples of this likewise in the life of the author rahimahullahu ta'ala, that they claim that he does not allow to give salah and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he dislikes the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they claim these claims because these people of innovation and deviation, they have innovated and deviant ways of sending the salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of those deviant and innovative ways, they contain shirk and calling on the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their salawat. So the author, he would refute that and clarify that that is shirk and clarify that that is innovation. So therefore now they claim that he does not want to send the salah and the salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's not the case. Rather, we have seen that he considers that to be a pillar from the pillars of the prayer. He considers that to be a pillar from the pillars of the prayer, when many of those same scholars do not find it to be a pillar. Those same scholars who make these claims against him do not find it to even be a pillar, meaning the prayer would be correct without sending the salah and the salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, they claim that he does not love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is because those people of deviation and innovation, they call on the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam besides Allah, and they supplicate to them and they ask them for provision, and they make dua to them, which is major shirk. And the author, he would forbid them from that. He would forbid them from that. And they would say, oh, you don't love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But indeed, he and likewise the followers of the truth, they love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hubba al-Islam. Hubba al-Islam, the love of Islam. Laysa hubba shirk. Not the love of shirk. Not the love of shirk. And it has come from Zayn al-Abidin. Zayn al-Abidin, Ali ibn Hassan ibn Ali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he told the people of Iraq at one time, and he said to them, he said, Ya Ahl al-Iraq, ahibbuna حب الإسلام لا حب الأوثان. You must love us the love of Islam, not the love of idolatry. Not the love of idolatry. And Allah of us, meaning the family, the household of the Prophet. The love of Islam, meaning love us for the sake of Allah. Love us for the sake of Allah. And in moderation, in the manner that is allowed. Not the love of paganism and idolatry. And meaning do not call on us. Do not call on the household. Do not call on Ali. Do not call on Fatima. Do not call on Hussein and Hassan. Radiallahu anhum. Rather call on Allah Azza wa Jal, those whom they call on. So whenever the people of truth, they refute this falsehood, they try to ascribe to them lies, they try to ascribe to them statements that will run the people away from them, that are in reality false and not true. That are in reality false and not true. And this is the way of the people of falsehood until this day. Whenever you try to stand firm and mention the correct position with regards to the people of knowledge. For example, some of them will say, oh, you don't like the people of knowledge, or you don't, or this or that, or you belittle the people of knowledge. They say the same thing until this day. And the people of falsehood, regardless of their falsehood, and the people of deviation, regardless of their deviation, they have a general methodology and how they contradict the evidences. So by learning these usul and these fundamental principles, a person will be able to identify by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal the deviations of the deviant. The deviations of the deviant, whether their deviation is far from the straight path or whether it's off the straight path just a bit. Because the people who deviate, they deviate in different gravities, and the gravity of their deviation is great. Some is greater than the other. Some people, they're far away from the straight path in their deviation, others they're not so far. But the one who is clear upon his understanding with regards to that straight path, these deviations will become clear. And this is similar, barakallahu fikum, to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, taraktukum ala al-bayda, laylaha kanahariha, la yazigu anha illa halik. I left you upon the white, ala al-bayda, yani upon the white path. I left you upon the white path. What does that mean? The clear path. Laylaha kanahariha. Its night is like its day. La yazigu anha illa halik. No one goes away from that except he will be destroyed. I left you upon the white path. Meaning the white path, something that's white, anything that comes on, for example, to a white garment. A brother has a white thobe on, for example. Any foreign object comes onto that white garment, it will stand out and be noticeable. Any foreign object comes on that, any type of spill, coffee or juice, anything, lint, whatever it may be, if it comes onto the white thobe, a person, he will see it. It will stand out. It will be able to be identified very easily. And this is the example here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left us on a path like this. The one who learns it, understands it, and he's upon it clearly, anything that opposes it and contradicts it will be identified. He will be able to identify anything that opposes it and contradicts it very easy. Laylaha kanahariha. Its night is like its day. Meaning just as you see clearly in the daytime, the issue of the straight path and the methodology of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's very clear. You can see straight and directly in the nighttime and the daytime. There's no ambiguity. And this is from the greatest attributes of the people of truth and from the greatest traits of the people of the sunnah. Those who are truly holding fast to the sunnah, al-wuduh. Al-wuduh fi al-manhaj. That they have clarity in the methodology that they traverse upon. That they have clarity in their creed, clarity in their creed, clarity in their methodology, clarity in their stances, clarity in their allegiance, and clarity in their alliance, and clarity likewise in their enmity, and that is all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here in this issue about the shafa'ah, we have seen in our previous class that this subject here, this topic here, it has foundations, four great foundations to understand the issue of the shafa'a properly, and we review them before we begin reading again, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The first one is, and the shafa'a mulkun lillah. A shafa'a mulkun lillah. That the intercession is from the mulk of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning it's something that belongs to Allah entirely. It's something that belongs to Allah entirely. It's in His command and under His authority, and it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heavens and the earth, mulkun lillah. The souls of the slaves, mulkun lillah. The trees and the fish and the seas and the plants and everything in this life, the animals, mulkun lillah. From the things that are from the mulk of Allah, from the dominion of Allah, under the authority and the command of Allah, is the Shafa'a is the shafa'a, is the intercession. This is number one. And the shafa'a mulkun lillah. And we took this and with evidences in our previous class, and the author, he mentioned those evidences here. We just summarize so that we can move on. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Number two, annaha la takunu illa bi'idhnillah. Number two, annaha la takunu illa bi'idhnillah. The second is that the intercession that belongs entirely to Allah, it cannot occur and take place except with the permission of Allah. Except with the permission of Allah. Because it is Allah who is the owner, and it does not occur or happen. He will not allow it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, except with his permission. Number three, أَنَّهَا لَا تَكُونُ إِلَّا بِرِضَى اللَّهِ عَنْ الْمَشْفُوِ عَنْهُ. That it also will not happen except for the one whom Allah is pleased with. The shafa'a will not, Allah, He will not grant permission for anyone to give or obtain the shafa'a except for those whom He's pleased with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those whom Allah is not pleased with, they will not be allowed to intercede nor to receive intercession. Nor to receive intercession. And number four, أن الله عز وجل لا يرضى إلا عن أهل التوحيد. Number four is that Allah, He's not pleased with anyone except for the people of التوحيد. So it is only the people of التوحيد who will be allowed to give intercession and who will be allowed to receive intercession. Who will be allowed to give intercession and be allowed to receive intercession. So if we realize this affair now, that the shafa'a belongs to Allah in entirety, absolutely, every aspect of that is from the dominion and the command of Allah, and that it will not occur except with the permission of Allah, and that no one will receive it except for those whom Allah is pleased with, and that Allah is only pleased with the people of At-Tawheed, then now it's an obligation that one, he will only seek the intercession from Allah and no one else. That one will only seek the intercession from Allah and no one else. Because it belongs to Allah and does not occur except with His permission. And likewise, that one, he would take the means as well to be from those people whom Allah is pleased with in order to obtain that intercession. And that one would avoid all of the means that could be a reason to prohibit him and forbid him from being able to receive the intercession. The intercession. This was the summarization of the fifth shubha, a shubha al-khamisa. Now we move on to a shubha al-sadisa. The sixth shubha, he says, rahimahullah, فَإِنْ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أُعْطِيَ الشَّفَاعَةَ وَأَنَا أَطْلُبُهُ مِمَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ. He says, now if he were to say, and he's going back and forth in this dialogue, now he brings another doubt. So if he were, you tell him that which has preceded. And this is likewise the way of the people of falsehood, that they go back and forth and they're never satisfied. Even if they realize many times that they have no case and that their proofs are deficient, they'll be stubborn and they'll persist upon the falsehood in attachment to their forefathers or in attachment to their way or that which they were raised upon, or out of fear of losing position or status, or out of losing some worldly gain that they have and the likes like this. This is something that they will do. They will hold on stubbornly many times to their falsehood, and they will not accept the truth. So you will show them clearly and close that door in their face, and they'll turn around and try to go through another door. And then you show them clearly and close that door in their face, and they'll turn around and go to another door. So the author, he's covering these bases in this manner like this. So if you tell him that which has preceded, and then now if he says to you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given shafa'ah, and I'm only asking him for what he was given. I'm only asking him for what he was given. So no doubt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given the shafa'ah, and it has come in Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Hadith of Jabir that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "U'atitu khamsan." لَمْ يُعْطَاهُنَّ أَحَدٌ قَبَلِي. He said, I was given five things that no one was given before me, and no other prophet was given before me. I was bestowed five things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no other messenger or prophet was given these five before me. And they are mentioned in from them, وَأُعْطِيتُ الشَّفَاعَةَ, and I was granted the shafa'ah. So this is something that is established. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been granted the shafa'ah. So now, based upon this evidence here, they're saying that well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was given the shafa'ah. So I'm only asking him for something that he was given. I'm only asking him for something he was given. We understand? We understand the doubt? Was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam given the shafa'ah? Yes, he was given the shafa'ah. So then he says, well, I'm only asking him for something he was given. And he has it, so I'm again going to ask him for it. You understand the doubt? You understand the evidence that they have? So they have a true evidence, right? أُعْطِيتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطَهُنَّ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي وَأُعْطِيتُ الشِّفَاعَ وَأُعْطِيتُ الشِّفَاعَ. I was given the shifa'ah. So there's the evidence here. But there's a benefit that we have learned, and that is أَنَّ هُنَاكَ فَرْقًا بَيْنَ صِحَّةِ الدَّلِيلِ وَبَيْنَ صِحَّةِ الْإِسْتِدْلَالِ. هناك فرق بين صحة الدليل وبين صحة الاستدلال. There's a difference between the authenticity of the evidence and using the evidence properly. Using the evidence properly. So somebody may bring an authentic evidence like here. This hadith is متفقون عليه من حديث جابر. Well-known narration. This hadith is متفقون عليه from the hadith of جابر. Well-known narration. So there's no doubt in the authenticity of the narration. But the way that they understand it and the way that they use it as an evidence to establish the issue that they want to establish is falsehood and not correct, and in contradiction to the fundamentals of al-Islam. And in contradiction to the fundamentals of al-Islam. So this is very important to learn about these affairs and to have fundamentals, because maybe a person of falsehood, he'll bring an authentic evidence. Maybe a person of falsehood, he'll bring a statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in his book. Or maybe he'll bring a statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's muttafiqun alayhi. So if a person, he does not have those usul, maybe these doubts could affect him. But the one who has the usul, he's on al-mahajjat al-bayda. He's on the white path. He's on the white path in his religion, in his deen. His feet are very firm on the straight path based upon knowledge. Then these doubts will be easy for him. And we can just summarize this doubt right now and say that we already mentioned before and clarified with evidences that the shafa'ah is the mulk of Allah. The shafa'ah belongs to Allah in entirety. That the shafa'ah belongs to Allah in entirety. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was given the shafa'ah, meaning I was granted the shafa'ah with the conditions that have come. With the conditions that have come. And I was given the ability to make shafa'ah, and I do not own it myself. I do not own the shafa'ah. I'm not the owner of shafa'ah. I don't have absolute authority over the shafa'ah. I'm not able to intercede on behalf of anyone I like. Rather, I'm not able to intercede before I have permission from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he's given the shafa'ah and the ability to make shafa'ah, but it's not in the absolute sense. And he does not own that with authority absolutely, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, he's only granted the permission to make shafa'ah. So they misunderstand this affair. So from the means of achieving the pure truth, al-haq, al-mahd, is to gather the texts in one issue. And the problem that the people of falsehood they have is from their methodology is that they will focus their view on one aspect of the texts. They'll look at one ayah or one hadith and they'll build their creed upon that and their position upon that. Along with the fact that in that issue, there are other ayat clarifying that with detail. There are other hadith clarifying that with detail. So a person, he will not truly be able to understand and grasp the reality of the mas'ala. A person, he will not truly be able to understand and grasp the reality, the true reality of the mas'ala, until one examines all of the evidence in that subject. So the issue of the shafa'ah, it's not sufficient to look at one text or the Quran only. Rather, we have to look at the text of the Quran, all of them related to the mas'ala of shafa'ah, and also the hadith that are authentic and with regards to the mas'ala of the shafa'ah. And from here, the truth becomes clear. As for if we go over here and we use one hadith, one ayah, we go over here, you use one ayah, or we go over here, we use one hadith, then it can be misunderstood. Because there's two aspects of the shafa'ah. In one aspect, it's negated, and another aspect is affirmed. So there's a type of shafa'ah that is negated and will not happen, and there's a type of shafa'ah that is affirmed and is established and will occur. And will occur, and each one has its reality And each one has its circumstances, and each one has its requirements necessitating for it to be negated or to be affirmed. For it to be negated or to be affirmed. So therefore the Prophet ﷺ, he was given the shafa'ah, but in a manner that is in accordance to the conditions. And he was given the shafa'ah, meaning the ability to intercede. And we will see that not only was the Prophet ﷺ given the ability to intercede, others as well, like the angels and the prophets and the righteous and the children of the believers, they have also been given the shafa'ah. They have also been given the shafa'ah. So the author, he says, فَالْجَوَابِ, so the response, the answer to this doubt, أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَاهُ شِفَاعَةَ وَنَهَاكَ أَن تَدْعُوَ مَعَهُ أَحَدًا. The Shaykh, he goes, the Shaykh rahimahullah, he goes straight to the point in the most beautiful manner. He says, so the response is that, yes, Allah, he gave him the shafa'ah. Allah, he gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ability to intercede. وَنَهَاكَ أَن تَدْعُوَ مَعَهُ أَحَدًا. And at the same time, he prohibited you from calling on anyone along with him. So the one who has allowed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give the intercession, the one who has granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the intercession, has also prohibited and forbid the people from calling on anyone besides him. So if we're going to work with this one text that's establishing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's been given the intercession, we also have to work with the other text that mentioned that it's forbidden and not allowed and major shirk to call on anyone along with Allah. To call on anyone along with Allah. And the reality of the intercession in the hereafter is that it's dua. The reality of the intercession for the hereafter is that it is dua. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will make dua to Allah azza wa jal, to forgive and to pardon, to take out of the fire, or to save from the fire, or to raise their ranks, so on and so forth. It's a supplication. It's a supplication that will be made. So to ask for the shafa'ah is a request. Even in the worldly life, if I need intercession to get a job, for example, I have to go to somebody and ask them. The one who I believe has close ties with the boss, for example. I need a job, my friend, he has a close ties with the boss. So I don't know the boss. But if I go to my friend who has close ties with the boss, maybe he can intercede on my behalf and help me make it easy for me to get a job there. So what do I have to do? Go to that middle person and ask him. So therefore, shifa is as-su'al. Was-su'al talabun. Wa talabu shifa'a fil akhirah ibadah. Seeking intercession is asking. Asking is a request, making a request. And in this manner, asking for the intercession in the hereafter from someone who has passed and is dead, this is a type of ibadah. This is a type of dua. So it has to be to Allah alone. So therefore, it's not allowed. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He has granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the intercession, and at the same time, He has forbidden the people from supplicating and calling on anyone besides Him. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And Allah, He says, and do not call on anyone along with Allah. So this is very clear. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not call on anyone along with Allah whatsoever, no matter who they are, for anything. So dua to other than Allah is forbidden, just like is mentioned in this verse. And he says, وَطَلَبُكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَفَاعَةَ نَبِيهِ عِبَادًا. And if you were to call on Allah and ask Him for the intercession of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is worship. Right now, if one were to make dua, oh Allah, allow Your Prophet to intercede on my behalf on the day of resurrection. What's that called? Huh? That's called dua. Oh Allah, allow us to be granted the intercession of Your Prophet on the day of resurrection. Ameen. Oh Allah, make us from those who will benefit from the intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. This is dua, and it is tawheed. It's dua, ibadah, tawheed. The statement here, Oh Allah, grant us the intercession of Your Prophet on the day of resurrection. Oh Allah, do not forbid us or prohibit us from the intercession of Your noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, allow us to benefit on that day from the intercession of Your Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This right here is called dua, supplication. It's called ibadah, worship. It's called tawheed, pure Islamic monotheism. We understand the point? He says now, وَاللَّهُ نَهَاكَ أَن تُشْرِكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْعِبَادَةِ أَحَدًا. And Allah has forbidden you from associating any partners at all in this worship. And the worship of dua. And the worship of dua. So if calling on Allah and asking Allah for the intercession of the Prophet is ibadah and tawheed, then calling on the Prophet and asking him for the intercession is shirk and paganism and polytheism. Understand? It's clear? Calling on Allah and asking Allah for the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is tawheed. Calling on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking him for the intercession is shirk. Because if you call on Allah and you ask Allah for the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now your heart is attached to Allah, and you're asking Allah for what belongs to him and what he has granted and what he would allow. And whenever you do that same thing to anyone else in the creation, now you have turned that right away from the one who deserves it, and you have given it to someone who does not deserve it. So therefore, if we affirm that doing it in this manner is tawheed, then doing it to anyone else is shirk. 1 + 1 = 2. Don't be fooled. Some people, they say 1 + 1 = 3. They try to trick you, right? The napkin issue. So this is what they do. This is what they do. So alhamdulillah, it's very clear. It's very clear. So then he says, فَإِذَا كُنْتَ تَأْدُعُ اللَّهَ فَإِذَا كُنْتَ تَأْدُعُ اللَّهَ أَيُشَفِّعَهُ فِيكَ فَأَطِعْهُ فِي قَوْلِهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. So therefore, if you call on Allah to allow him to intercede before for you, and if you call on Allah and you supplicate to him, asking Allah to allow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to intercede for you, then also you must obey Allah and his statement and do not call on anyone whatsoever along with Allah. Also, you must obey Allah and his statement that do not call on anyone else along with Allah whatsoever. We understand the point the author is making? Alhamdulillah. So he says, wa'aydan, and here's another aspect of refuting the statement. What is the statement? The Prophet, he's given an intercession. I'm only asking him for what he's given. The Prophet, he's given intercession, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm only asking him for what he has. I'm only asking him for something that he has, that he's been given. So we refuted it. It's clear, right? Alhamdulillah. Now there's another refutation, an additional manner. He says, وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّ الشَّفَاعَةَ أُغْطِيَهَا غَيْرُ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَصَّحَّ أَنَّ مَلَائِكَةَ يَشْفَعُونَ وَالْأَفْرَاطَ يَشْفَعُونَ وَالْأَوْلِيَاءَ يَشْفَعُونَ أَتَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْطَاهُمُ الشَّفَاعَةَ فَأَطْلُوبُهَا مِنْهُمْ. He says also that indeed the shafa'ah has been given to other than the Prophet, has been given to others besides the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, the intercession has been given to others besides the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it has been reported authentically that the angels, they will intercede, and then the children of the believers who died as children, they will intercede, and then the righteous from the Muslims, they will intercede. So therefore, do you say that since Allah gave them the intercession, I'm going to request it from them? You understand the question now? In Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, it's a long narration. In that narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, فَسَيُقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ, on the day of resurrection, Allah, he's going to say on the day of resurrection, شَفَعَةِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَشَفَعَ النَّبِيُّونَ وَشَفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَمْ يَبْقَى إِلَّا أَرْحَمُ الرَّحِيمِينَ. Allah is going to say about those people in the hellfire that the angels, they have interceded, and that the prophets, they have interceded, and the believers, they have interceded, and there is none left except for the most merciful of the merciful. And there's none left except for the most merciful of the merciful. So what he's saying here is referring to this narration. It's affirmed, sahha, it's authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the angels, they will intercede, and that the righteous, they will intercede. Also, there are other narrations as well clarifying that one who lost his child, And he's patient in doing that whenever they're young, then they will come and they will intercede on behalf of their parent on the day of resurrection, the children of the believers. If they're tried with that, this is also something established in the authentic Sunan. So would one say now, for example, somebody who lost his son, may Allah protect our families. If someone, he lost his son, and then he read the narration that the children of the believers will intercede on behalf of them, would he go to the grave of his son and say, "Oh, my son, intercede on behalf of me"? Would he go to the grave and say, "Oh, my son, intercede on behalf of me"? If he did that, what is that called? No one disagrees about that. If he read the narration here, the angels that intercede, so he started, Ya Jibreel, intercede on my behalf on the day of resurrection. I have sins, I'm afraid. Oh Jibreel, intercede on my behalf on the day of resurrection. What is that? Shoot, there's nothing, nobody differs about that. Nobody differs about that. We understand? So this is clear. So it has been affirmed that others besides the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have been granted also the intercession. So do you say now that you seek the intercession from them? You see where the author is going? So now his response. The author, he says, rahimahullah. And what's the answer? He's either going to say yes or no. He has to say either yes, I will seek it from them, or no, I will not seek it from them. So this is what will happen. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, he says, فَإِن قُلْتَ هَذَا وَجَوَّزْتَ دُعَاءَ هَؤُلَاءِ رَجَعْتَ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ الصَّالِحِينَ الَّتِي ذَكَرَهَا اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ. So if you say yes, and you believe that to be permissible, and yes, I will seek intercession from the dead children of the believers, yes, I will seek intercession from the angels. If you say that, and you affirm that, and you believe that to be permissible and allowed, calling on you, and you believe that it's permissible and allowed to call on these, ones, then now you have fallen back into worshipping the righteous, that which Allah has mentioned in His book, meaning that which we have refuted previously in the previous points. Number one, number two, number three. Number one, number two, number three, and number four. Those previous issues, shubuhat, they're refuted there. So if he says yes, now we take him back to there and refute that the righteous and the likes and those who are called on them besides Allah, they don't own, they did not create anything, they don't have any authority, they don't dispose of the affairs, so on and so forth. And that to call on the righteous is major shirk. And to clarify for them how that is. And meaning that if he said, yes, I do that, then he has fallen into clear shirk that's already been clarified in those previous points. Understand? He says, وَإِن قُلْتَ لَا بَطَلَ قَوْلُكَ. And if you said no, meaning no, I do not call, no, I'm not going to call on the kids in the grave. No, I'm not going to call on the angels. If you say no, then this statement here that you're saying has been invalidated. And your proof now has been completely invalidated from the source. أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ الشَّفَاءَ وَأَنَا أَطْلُبُهُ مِمَّا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ. So now this statement here has been invalidated. And you see the falsehood of that. Saying, oh, well, he's been given the shafa'ah and I'm only asking him for what he's been given. Right? Because this is the base of their statement. This is their shubha. Well, the Prophet, he's been given the shafa'ah, so I'm only asking him for what he's been given. So if that's the case, you got to run it across the board. Okay, well, the angel's been given the shafa'ah, so why don't you ask them? Because you know it's shirk. And the children have been given shafa'ah, so why don't you ask them? No, I don't ask them. Why? Oh, that's shirk. Okay, well, then asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no different. So therefore, they just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was granted intercession, they were also granted intercession. So just like calling on them for the intercession is shirk, calling on him for the intercession is shirk. فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not call on anyone along with Allah. Do not call on anyone along with Allah. I think this doubt here is clear. Alhamdulillah. We're going to summarize now. We're going to summarize now what has been mentioned, inshallah, for the benefit. So the way to refute this, we see that first the intercession is from the authority, is from the mulk of Allah Azza wa Jal. Going back to the fundamentals of the whole issue, the whole masala, that the shafa'ah mulkun lillah. That the shafa'ah is mulkun lillah. قُلْ لِلَّهِ شَفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. قُلْ لِلَّهِ شَفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. That the shafa'ah is the absolute authority and command, is an absolute authority and command and possession of the shifa belongs to Allah. So therefore, it's not allowed to request it or to seek it from anyone other than the one who owns it and has authority. It's not allowed to seek it or request it from anyone except the owner, the true owner, and the one who has absolute authority. As for the Prophet ﷺ and others likewise who have been granted the intercession, then they have been granted the intercession as a means of honoring them. We have seen this is from the wisdom of the issue of shafa'ah, is that Allah, He wants to honor some from His creation and show their honor and nobility and status and rank by granting them the ability to intercede. And the people will realize their virtue and their nearness to Allah. And likewise, Allah, He wants to show mercy to others from His creation. And therefore, He will allow them to receive intercession from those noble ones that He has chosen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal in His creation. And the one who reflects over these affairs, it is the most amazing affair. This life that we see, and the delight of this life, and the trials of this life, and the desires of the soul, and everything around us and the environment, and then the promise of Jannah and the threat of Nar, and that this life is a test, and that there's a day of accountability, that we stand and face our Creator. All of these affairs here are from the most amazing affairs. And then on that day there's intercession, and Allah, He will raise some people and He will lower others. Allahu Akbar. What do you want to be? Raised or lowered? Then learn the deen and hold fast to it. Then learn the deen and hold fast to it. So the shafa'ah, mulkun lillah. It's not allowed to ask for the shafa'ah except for the one who owns it, and that is Allah alone. As for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others from the creation who will be granted the ability to intercede, this is a means of Allah honoring them and showing their high status and rank. So they're only allowed to intercede after the permission of Allah. After the permission of Allah. So how would you ask it from them? They don't have permission to intercede in the first place, except after they're allowed. They don't have permission, absolutely. They will not be able to intercede except after they are allowed to. So how could you ask it from them? They don't own it. They have no authority. They don't own it and they don't have no authority. Number two, the companions, radiallahu anhum, not one of them sought intercession from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death. It's not been narrated from any of the companions, radiallahu anhum, from the major of it, from the best of them to those who were lesser. Now, those who had spent great time and were very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to those who had spent fewer or less time or were not as close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of the companions, not one of them, it's mentioned that they sought or requested intercession from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he died. Any mention of intercession from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his lifetime, and what is intended by that is to make dua. O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me. That was in his lifetime while he was alive. They would ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make dua for them in his lifetime while he's there, hearing them and listening to them and responding to them. As for after his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this did not occur. And we have seen that it's an obligation to follow Sabir al-Mu'mineen. It's an obligation to follow the path of the believers. And the believers in the time of these verses were the believers. مَنْ يُشَاقِكِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَبِعِ غَيْرُ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So Sabir al-Mu'mineen is the way of the companions. And the companions, they did not call and ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the intercession. So therefore it's falsehood. Number three, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he told us that we should ask Allah for him to be granted the intercession. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has informed us that he has been granted intercession, and he has informed us that if we ask Allah for him to have intercession, we will get intercession. You understand the point? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wa'utitu ash-shafa'a," and I have been granted intercession. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us that if we call on Allah and ask Allah to grant our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercession, then Allah will grant us intercession. So how can we call on the Prophet and ask for it himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And this is in the hadith of
Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned either sami'tum al-nida, or either sami'tum al-mu'adhin. If you hear the mu'adhin making the adhan, then you say like he says. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. And then you send the salat on me. So whenever you hear the mu'adhin, you say what he says in the manner that we know. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. Then after that, you send the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَإِنَّ مَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيَّ صَلَاةٍ وَحِدَةٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَشْرًا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِهَا عَشْرًا. Because indeed, the one who sends the salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time, Allah, he will send it upon that person 10 times. 10 times. So, with regards to the adhkar of the adhan, you follow the mu'adhin. After that, immediately, what do you do? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. The salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah that you make in the tashahud, the exact same manner. The exact same manner, right after the adhan. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثُمَّ سَلُوا اللَّهَ لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ فَإِنَّهَا مَنْزِيلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَا تَنْبَغِي إِلَّا لِعَبْدٍ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ وَأَرْجُوا أَنْ أَكُونَ أَنَا هُوَ. He says, and then after that, you ask Allah for me to have al-wasila. Indeed, this is a high status and rank in paradise, and it's not befitting for anyone except for a slave from the slaves of Allah, and I hope that I am him. And I hope that I am him. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِي الْوَسِيلَةَ حَلَّتْ لَهُ الشَّفَاعَةُ. So whoever asks Allah for me to have the wasila, that he will obtain the intercession. And the wasila is the high rank in paradise. And on the day of resurrection, the ability and the high status and lofty rank that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be granted in the paradise, the high and lofty status. So the one who requests this for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who calls on Allah and asks for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be granted this high status and this high rank, then the intercession of the Prophet will be allowed for him. So how will somebody call on the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask for the intercession? This is complete falsehood. So the fourth point likewise is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had been granted the intercession, and this was a means of honoring and showing the Prophet a great favor and virtue sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But at the same time, Allah, he forbade the people from calling on others besides him. So the fact that he was given the shafa'ah is affirmed, and also the fact that it's not allowed to call on anyone along with Allah whatsoever is affirmed. So we must apply both texts in their proper light. Number five is that the intercession on the day of resurrection are numerous. The intercession on the day of resurrection is from many aspects. There's a type of intercession that is specific only for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there are other aspects of the intercession that are shared, and there are others that will be allowed to intercede. There are others that will be allowed to intercede, like the angels and the prophets and the righteous and the children of the believers, as has preceded. So therefore, since it's not allowed to call on them and ask them for the intercession, then likewise it's not allowed to call on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him for the intercession. Because just like they do not own the intercession, he does not own the intercession. Just like he was given the intercession and the ability to intercede, they were given intercession and the ability to intercede. So to call on them is shirk, and likewise to call on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shirk, and he called for the intercession. So the intercession belongs to Allah. It only happens with his permission, and it is only allowed for the people whom he's pleased with, and he's only pleased with the people of At-Tawheed. Even to further emphasize the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he gathered the people, on Safa, and he said, and he gathered the tribes, and he said, ya al-Abbas, am Rasulullah, anqidh nafsaka min al-nar, la amliku laka min Allahi shay'a. Oh Abbas, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, save yourself from the fire. I'm not able to help you against Allah whatsoever. Ya Safiya, amat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anqidhi nafsaki min al-nar, la amliku laki min Allahi shay'a. Oh Safiya, the aunt of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, save yourself from the fire. I'm not able to help you against Allah whatsoever. Meaning, if they do not believe and they do not work righteous deeds, then Allah, the Messenger, he will not be able to help them. He will not be able to benefit them. He will not be able to intercede on their behalf, because he's only allowed to intercede on behalf of those who believe and have tawheed, and whom Allah is pleased with. Then the Prophet ﷺ even further emphasized to the peak of emphasis, Allahu Akbar, Ya Fatima bint Muhammad. O Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salini min mali ma shi'ti. Ask me for my wealth, whatever you like. La ugni anki min Allahi shay'a. I'm not able to help you against Allah whatsoever. Meaning, if she did not believe and have tawheed, he would not be able to help her. Nuh alayhi salam is not able to help his wife. He's not able to help his son. Right? Nuh alayhi salam is not able to help his wife. He's not able to help his son. Lut is not able to help his wife. The both of them. كانت تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فخانتاهما فلم يغنيا عنهما من الله شيئا. You understand that? This is very clear. Likewise, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Khalil al-Rahman, the most beloved of the people after our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Khalil al-Rahman, Ibrahim, his father was cast in the hellfire. And on the day of resurrection, Ibrahim is going to say, Oh Allah, did you not promise me you will not disgrace me on the day of resurrection? What is more disgraceful than a father who's cast away? And then Allah, he will say, look underneath your feet, and his father will be turned into an animal, and he will be grabbed by his feet and cast in the hellfire. So, inni haramtu jannati ala al-kafirin. I have forbidden the Jannah for those who disbelieve. So he requests and intercedes, but because his father disbelieve, he'll be cast in disgrace in the hellfire, and Ibrahim will not be able to benefit him whatsoever. Understand? So those people who do not have tawheed, they do not have iman, they do not have faith, they will not benefit. This is this shows us the dangers of ignorance, because these people, they want intercession, but they take the greatest path that will forbid them from intercession. They want intercession, but the very thing that will cut that intercession off from its roots, and if that will cut the ability to obtain that intercession off from its roots, is to call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that's exactly what they're doing. So this is an amazing affair. He wants this thing, but he's doing exactly what will forbid him from that, because of ignorance of the fundamentals of the religion. And there's reasons for that, and from that is being around people of falsehood, and listening to the people of falsehood, and not knowing who the true scholars are. How do these people get in this manner? Ulama su. This ulama su, they say, call on Ali, that's tawheed. They say, if you say, yeah, Fatima, Al-Madid, provide for me, O Fatima. Hada hu tawheed. They say, this is tawheed. They say, this is not, or they will say, no, calling on the grave, that's not shirk, that's tawassul. They name it another name, and the likes like this. So there are people who have knowledge, but they're deviant. They're called ulama su. And also, as well, underneath them, they're tulab su. We should not be deceived. There's ulama su, and they have tulab. They're also tulab su, upon their different levels and ranks. So whenever a person, he's confused about who the ulama khayr are, and who the tulab khayr are, whenever these things become confusing for a person, now the shaitan, he works his evil, and he's able to mislead, and he's able to use these doubts and misconceptions and play with people, and bring weakness in their deen, in their tawheed, and in their creed, and in their shahada. So it's of utmost importance to learn and to know the traits, to know the traits of the people of piety and righteousness, to know the traits of the true scholars of the sunnah, and to know the traits of those who imitate them but are not from them. And this author, rahimahullah, he has this issue mentioned specifically in that treatise that we studied, Usul al-Sitta, the six principles, and it's the fourth principle. Ma'rifat al-ilm wal-ulama wal-fiqh wal-fuqaha wal-mutashabihin bihim wa-laysu minhum. To know the true knowledge, and the true people of knowledge, and to know the fiqh truly, and the true people of fiqh, and to know those who imitate them and they are not from them. This is of utmost importance, especially in these last days. May Allah grant us success. Inshallah, after this we continue with the seventh shubha in our class to come. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. نعم اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمد وسيد الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعث المقام المحمود الذي وعدته. نعم that's the دعاء. Yes yes. the دعاء. We took the دعاء in the last class, that was also that's from the means of obtaining the دعاء. So what is the دعاء? The dua came in the hadith of Jabir, also in Sahih Bukhari. And the narration that we just discussed was the narration of Abdullah bin Amr, صح? رضي الله عنهما. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, make the salat on me after that. No, Afwan, make the salawat al-Ibrahimiyyah after the adhan. And then after that, ask Allah for me to have the wasila. So that that actual dua has come in the hadith of Jabir, رضي الله عنه. We read it in our previous class. He said, من قال حين يسمع النداء اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته حلت له شفاعتي حلت له شفاعتي. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that whoever hears the call to prayer, and then he says, O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and of this established prayer, give Muhammad the wasila and the fadila. The wasila is the high rank in paradise. The wasila is the high rank and level in paradise. And the fadila and the virtue. Yani in the, also in any of the high status. وَبَعَثُوا مَقَامٍ مَحْمُودًا أَلَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ and resurrect him in the maqam al-mahmood. Yani in the praiseworthy rank and status. Meaning granting him the ability to intercede for all of mankind, and then likewise the other intercessions that he has, that you have promised him, O Allah, and resurrect him upon the praiseworthy rank and status that you have promised him. The one who says this, then his intercession will befall him. This intercession will befall me. So the wasila is a high level in paradise, but the one who asks for the wasila is in this manner. In this manner. So first, whenever after the adhan, one he will send the salawat on the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After you hear the adhan, what do? You say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wata tamma wa salati al-qa'ima, aati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila, wa ba'athu maqaman mahmoodan al-ladhi wa'adta. Like this. And then also you say, اللهم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا. You can say it in the end, or you can say it in during the adhan. Likewise, there's a difference of opinion when this part should be said, but if you said it in the end, بإذن الله تعالى, this is allowed, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. And then after that, any supplication made between the adhan and the iqama likewise is accepted, and after that a person, he will supplicate for whatever he likes. But this is the supplication, and this is what is being referred to here. So al-wasila, this is the al-manzila al-rafi'a fil jannah. But asking for the wasila is in this manner, asking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have that wasila, that high status in the jannah, and asking him likewise to have this virtue, and that he'll be resurrected in this lofty status that is praiseworthy, granted the ability to intercession on the day of resurrection. On the day of resurrection. So the one who asks Allah this for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he will be granted the intercession. So the point was, then how could you ask it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever he has taught us to ask Allah for him? We ask Allah for him. So how could we ask him? So this is again like the author has taught us in Shurut Salah, in the Tashahud. In the Tashahud, what do? We make dua for the Prophet. So the one that you make dua for should not be made dua to. If you make dua for someone, then you don't make dua to them. If he's in need of dua from you, to call on Allah for him, then how are you going to leave Allah and call him? Huh? The one that you make dua for him, you don't make dua to him along with Allah. So here the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us the same thing here. That here he's teaching us to call on Allah and ask Allah for him to have the wasila. So how are we going to go to him and ask for it? Understand? Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khairan. Huh? وبعث مقام محمود الذي وعدته إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. I don't remember that part if it's established. لا تصح. I don't think that it's authentic. Yeah. This is something that requires an evidence that's authentic. And I don't recollect it. The brothers mentioned that it's not. You familiar with it, huh? Yeah. This. Sometimes there's additions in some wordings of narrations. Sometimes those additions are authentic, so therefore we would apply them. And there's other hadith that have come with additional wordings, but the chains of those hadith are not affirmed. So because of that, those wordings are not affirmed. Like that, in the dua is important. The dua ma'thur, the dua has come in the evidences. We have to hold fast to them as they are. That even some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned about the issue of riwayah bil ma'na. It's allowed for the narrators of hadith, to those who are qualified, to narrate the narration by meaning. But not the adhkar. The adhkar is supposed to be narrated just as they can, and there's evidence from that from the hadith of Bara' that we know, and the likes like this. So some of the people don't know, as they mentioned, like for example, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi. Some people, they say Ya Muqallib al-Qulub wal-Absar. Ya Muqallib al-Qulub wal-Absar. Right? This is not established. There's no hadith for this. So this is not proper. Rather, this is considered like istidrak. Istidrak, like trying to add, do more to the dua that's not there. Like some people, they say, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ وَلَا أَقَلَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. They add that part. That part's not in the hadith. Do not entrust me to myself for the blinking of an eye, and nothing lesser than that. So this, and nothing lesser than that, is not found in the narrations. So there's no need to add to it. It would suffice, the blinking of the eye. يَا مُقَلِبَ الْقُلُوبِ. That's how the Prophet, he said it. He didn't say, what absar. So the point is, that if these additional wordings, they're not found, then we don't say them. We don't say them, and Allah knows best. Also, for example, in Ramadan, when they say, Ya Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa, Ya Allahumma, they add the word kareem. What is it? Fa'innaka afuun kareem. Or there's places where people, the layman and the likes like this, and become common amongst some people and widespread, that they add these extra words here that in reality there's no evidence for them. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun. So no doubt Allah is afu and kareem, but this wording didn't come like this. I remember now, barakallahu fikum, that the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, a man he sneezed. The man he sneezed, he said, Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. A man he sneezed, and then he said, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. You with me? When you sneeze, what do you say? Alhamdulillah. You said Alhamdulillah. But this man, he said, Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. طيب, is saying the salah and the salam on the Messenger of Allah is bad? Huh? What's the problem then? It's the place. It's the place. We talked about that. Ibadat makaniya. Ibadat makaniya. We talked about that, huh? Tayyib. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says, wa ana aqul alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Wa ma hakadha. وَمَا حَكَذَ عَلَّمَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ. He said, and I say myself, Alhamdulillah, وَصَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ عَلَى رَسُولِ. But not, this is not how the messenger taught us. When you sneeze, this is not how he taught us. He said, when you sneeze, you say Alhamdulillah. Or Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Like this, there's two ways. But so the point is that this is good to, in general, to send the salah on the Prophet Muhammad, but not there, because it didn't come there. He understands that you just follow and suffice. If it's affirmed, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you say it. If it's not affirmed, you don't say it. But it's important to be careful. And if you memorize the likes of these affairs, that we learn them from the proper sources. I myself, I have advice for us, because I was not guided to Salafiyah in the beginning, or to holding fast to the text properly. So there are things that I learned initially that later on I found out were not absolutely correct. Right? So when you're learning Islam, you learn, some people, alhamdulillah, they might be guided to the Salafi masjid and to the good brothers, and they teach them right away. Other people, maybe they're guided to Jama'at al-Tabliq first. I know a brother, he was guided to the Shia first. When he had billah, he was a Rafidi. American Rafidi. Alhamdulillah. But alhamdulillah, Allah guided him to Islam, yani, to real Islam. Yani, but in the beginning, he thought, that's Islam. But then, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah guided him to a person of the Sunnah. My point is that, you know, especially here in America, you know, we're not always guided right away to the details and the straight path and the clear Islam, the pure deen. So those of us who have made this area, or even, you know, or maybe we're just laymen, we're not really engaged in learning from the proper sources, so we just have accumulated lots of information about Islam. Some of that information, now that we realize these details here, has to be ciphered out. That some of it is okay and correct and good, and other aspects of it is not good. Like, for example, somebody may have heard that that on the day of resurrection you say, oh Allah, I want to drink from the hold of the Prophet, from his hand, from the hand of the Prophet. Oh Allah, let me drink from the hold of the Prophet, from his hand. Or that the people, they're going to drink from the hand of the, this part is not even established. And some of the people, like I said, it's not even proper to say that. You say, you want to drink from the hold of the Prophet? Yeah. But as everybody's going to drink from that, that's not established. There's no proof for that. So these are like common ideas or statements or beliefs or practices that are not correct. There's no actual evidence to establish them, although they become widespread. So my point is that we have to be careful. Like, maybe we learned before some adhkar, they're not even correct or right. So now, whenever we're trying to re-establish our religion, we start becoming very interested in our deen. We love Allah. We want to follow the Prophet. Now we kind of have to go back and look at some of the stuff that we learned before we learned about Salafiyah, before we learned about the clear path. Yani, because some of it is okay, alhamdulillah, but some of it is wrong. Some of it is wrong and not correct, or some of it is weak and doesn't have evidence, so on and so forth. Barakallahu fikum. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.